Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for being part of our day. Thanks for continuing to listen. You know what we think about those of you who listen and stay with us. We consider that a sign of a high intelligence. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here, too. That's what you got to look forward to, especially now that Peter Meyer is with us. I know you're going to get smarter because Peter is one of the smartest guys we know. He's an outstanding member of our Brain Trust, the author of Warp Speed Growth, and one of my favorite books, Creating and Dominating New Markets. And many of you have heard me reference Peter and the things that he has taught us over the years on the show, even when he's not here. Peter, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be.
It's good to have you here. It's like a dream come true for you, isn't it, Peter?
Absolutely. This is one of the highlights of my week. It's only Monday morning. It can only get better.
Peter, I love talking with you about helping small business owners create and dominate new markets. Now, I'm going to throw a little bit of a wrinkle into what you probably were going to say by setting you up this way. In the previous hour, our good friend Tom Asacker was with us, and he was talking to us about how the market is going to change in 07 and how it's continuing to evolve. And he says that something that I've been saying for a long time, and that is that more and more our customers are not as interested in coming to see us as they are wanting us to come to see them. When I say come to see them, I mean they're not as likely to come to our website as they are to allow us to send them stuff from our website. They're not as likely to come to our store as they are wanting to be reminded of stuff that we have for them when we do. And if you agree with that, and that's the first question, do you agree with that, that diagnosis of the evolution of the marketplace? If you agree with that, what does that mean for small business owners who are trying to create and dominate new markets?
Well, first of all, I agree with one caveat. I think that our customers want us to cater to them, no question about it. They want a higher degree of service, and they deserve a higher degree of service, just like
they want to be spoiled, don't they?
Well, Jim, you've spoiled them. They want more of the same.
That's right.
But isn't it appropriate, though, if you think about it? We want to be spoiled. They want it. It only makes sense. And one of the key things about creating and dominating markets has always been to treat a customer the same way you want to be treated. So that makes perfect sense to me. But the caveat, of course, is security. Customers want to think that their information and their privacy is secure. Whether you agree with it or not, that's what they want. And
they expect it. They don't just want it. They expect it.
And I think it's important that we respect that and treat them accordingly. So that's part of the equation here. But in terms of what we get to do about that, it's really good news. The reason I think it's really good news is because it's an unmet desire on the part of the customers that is very amorphous. I mean, if you and I talk about this and our people are listening, and they're probably asking, well, what does that mean for my industry? And the fact is, because it's not well-defined, it means that there's an opportunity for the first business in your particular marketplace to define it well and then go do it. I think it is really a very appropriate way to go about managing a new market, creating a new market, something that never existed before, because this is a new territory for us.
But see, you're saying that we've got to do something that many small business owners aren't that good at, and that is identifying the trend, getting a little bit out in front of it, and capitalizing on it. Too many small business owners are one generation behind, maybe more than one generation behind. In fact, sadly, many small business owners are still stuck in the 20th century.
That's a good line. I've always liked that line.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is that the average small business owner and manager is a very, very good person, but there are no averages. every one of our listeners, just like you and I, is different from everyone else. And I think it's important that we realize that the average small business owner may be stuck in a certain place, but each one of us has the ability to be above average. That's mm-hmm. how averages get defined,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like
that's right.
The economy is a bunch of averages. We exceed individually beyond what the economy does because we're not average.
But the first thing that we've got to do, and this is where you have helped us so much over the years, Peter, is to recognize that we actually can do this. In the 21st century, small business owners actually can be above average. We can exceed our expectations. We can compete on a much greater level than maybe that we have in the past. We have that ability, and that's the first thing, is to admit and to recognize that we have that ability, and then we got to do something about it. And that's what I want you to talk to us about when we come back. We're going to get Peter to help us do something about this new opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. It's 20 Till. Peter Meyer is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm your host. Stay with us.
Cannot be denied.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Peter Meyer, the author of Warp Speed Growth and Creating and Dominating New Markets. Peter, give us your website, please.
Well, the easiest way to get there is creatinganddominatingnewmarkets.com.
creatinganddominatingnewmarkets.com, but also MeyerGroup.com, right? That's another one. Your website.
Yes, but it's MeyerGRP.com.
GRP.com. So folks, right. Check that out. And your books are available on your website, but also wherever books are sold.
Wherever books are sold. I always support the local corner bookstore. But
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Amazon.com has them on sale.
Absolutely. So check it out, folks. Okay, Peter, how do we do this? Now that we say, okay, Peter, we believe you. We believe we can do something about new markets. How do we take the latest information, the newest perspectives on the marketplace? We've gotten our heads out of the 20th century. We're fully 21st century beings now. What's the first next step to take to be able to be more dominant in our markets?
First thing I think is always going to be to make sure you actually have a solution that's not looking for a problem. And you know, you've heard me use that phrase before.
I love that. I think that's, and I wish you'd say it again.
A solution looking for a problem is what most people offer. What you want is you want to go find the problem and then build the solution. And the easiest way to do that, and the most fun way from my point of view to do that, is to take some time aside from your regular business, go find some customers and some people who are not customers, and ask them about the problems they perceive they're facing. Not the ones we think they're facing, not the ones we hope mm-hmm. they're facing, the ones they perceive.
See what happens, Peter, and to break this down to another level, what happens is we buy stuff that we want to sell. And when we're buying those things, we're customers. So we get excited about it. And so we find that we identify all these benefits that the person selling this to us, the vendor selling us these products wholesale to be sold retail perhaps by us. We have all these benefits that we're so excited about. But what we miss is that once those products get handed over to our customers, all those benefits become merely features to them. Because what's important to us, as you just now pointed out, is not necessarily what's important to them, to the customer.
So true. And one of the things I find very interesting about that whole discussion is that often our customers will use our products differently than we expect.
Right.
And if we don't know that, we might be missing something. There's a whole series of pharmaceutical home runs that come off of products that were developed generations ago mm-hmm. that doctors and patients start using what they call off-label in ways that were not expected by a supplier.
Mm-hmm.
If the supplier doesn't recognize it, somebody else does, buys a drug for almost nothing and gets a home run. And this has been true of like thalidomide, which is now a very popular product, of course not for women who are pregnant, but
right.
very popular product for other diseases, including some cancer diseases, because some doctors figured out other ways of using it and one of the manufacturers noticed it.
Right.
The supplier noticed it, and that's what made a new market.
Right. Right. You know, one of my favorite ones, this is kind of a silly one, is Oreo crumbles, Oreo waste. You know, there are not too many things, Peter, in the world that I consider to be a more important invention than Oreo. I love Oreos. but one thing we know about Oreos is they crumble.
Mm-hmm.
And there's waste. Somebody came up with the idea of taking the Oreo crumbles and turning it into toppings for ice cream.
That's right.
Isn't that a great new market?
That's an excellent example of taking products that are leftover that are used differently by the customers and following the customer direction.
And would have been thrown away otherwise.
Absolutely right. And there you have something that's a very good example of how any small business can make something happen.
Right.
And to go back to our first segment from the half hour, the real theme behind all these are that there are business owners who make the decision that they're going to see what happens, and there are business owners who make the decision they're going to make what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Oreo crumbles are somebody making what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else we're talking about are simply tools to make that decision work.
So how do we reach out to the users of what we do? How do we reach out to them? How do we ask them the questions? How do we record the information? How do we process what we heard?
It kind of depends on the market that you're looking at and the size of the customer and size of the transaction. For a large transaction customer, not the Oreo crumble sort of thing, but a large transaction customer, for instance, bulk loads of Oreo crumbles, you might just go to the customer and say, let me buy a cup of coffee. You just talk to me about things mm-hmm. that you're working on that have nothing to do with me. And let the customer talk about their business or their purchasing patterns overall. If it's a small product, let's say you're a pet store, then after you finish a transaction with a customer and they've got their product in the bag, ask them if you can just ask one more question. And then ask the follow-on question, which would be something along the lines of, what kind of issues do you have with your pet that nobody helps you solve?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get a lot of answers like nothing. But every now and then, maybe every fifth answer, you get something interesting. You ask 25 times, you get four interesting answers of the same.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to start.
And you may have to ask that question, as you say, in different ways, because sometimes if you're asking them about something that they don't know it exists, but you can make it exist, they may say, no, I don't need that. But what they're really saying is I've never done that before.
Mm.
I have an example of that when we come back after these messages. Happened to me about over 25 years ago. Stay with us. 10 till. Peter Meyer is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back.
Whether they're right or wrong, at least the mystery is gone.
Won't you come away with me? Oh, we are flying high.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Peter Meyer, the author of Creating and Dominating New Markets, and that's creatinganddominatingnewmarkets.com, right, Peter?
Exactly right.
That's one of them. Peter, I worked for Xerox in the 70s and very early 80s.
When you were about 2 years old?
When I was only two, that's exactly right.
Okay.
And they came out with a machine called the 4000, the Xerox 4000, that did automatic two-sided copying. It would literally flip the original, and it would and it had two different paper trays that it would work out of, and it would literally, if you had a two-sided original, or if you had two sheets of paper, you wanted two pages of information you wanted on one sheet, it would do that for you. Now, when we sold these things, when they gave it to us to sell, and we went out into the marketplace, we would ask people. One of the things they taught us to say was, "How much two-sided copying do you do?" That was the wrong question, because people would say none. And so if we weren't a little smarter, that would be the end of the sales call.
Mm-hmm.
So what we figured out was what we had to do is say, if you had the ability to copy on both sides of the sheet automatically, what would you do with that capability?
The right question matters so much.
It does.
And I'm going to suggest in this case for the new market discussion that we start the right question more along the lines of, What things can you not get today that you want for your business or for your home or whatever the customer is doing? And let the customer guide us into the category they're interested in. Then start to ask questions like the one you're asking about, if you could do this, would it be helpful? But if you let the customer guide us, two things happen. One is that they'll bring us to areas we would not have thought of, which I think is valuable.
Right.
And the other is that it shows a sign of respect for the customer that they don't often get in other places. And that sign of respect is something I think every customer deserves. And if you want to go back to your earlier comment, you want to spoil customers, start by listening.
Right.
That's the best way to spoil people.
You know, Peter, this all fits perfectly with what we've taught. What I was taught and what I've been teaching people to do for all these decades now, and you have too, and what we talk about on the show, and that is, instead of trying to sell folks your stuff, find out what they need. Don't say, here's my stuff, how much do you want? Literally, start a sales call with, what can I do to help you?
Exactly.
What is on your mind today? And expect that it will be something that's unrelated to you in every way. That you may not literally walk out of there and all you have is the information that they gave you. You might not make a sale. But in my opinion, Peter, in the 21st century, our customers are not all that likely to be able to morph over to or to change channels over to our ideas when they've got so many of their own challenges on their plate. We've got to go play with them. We can't ask them to come play with us.
Why should we ask them to go and focus on our issues instead of their own?
That's right.
At the worst case, that's arrogant, and the best case, that's simply not respectful.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an example that I like to use because I know that it wasn't meant this way, but it came out the wrong way. The people who run General Motors about 2 years ago came to the marketing folks, and said, you know, we're going to beat everybody else in this market. We're going to do that because we're the only vendor that has a totally integrated line of cars where you get all these one set of features across the entire product set. And our consumers, our car buyers, want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to everybody I talked to about it that nobody really cares if you get the same feature in a pickup truck and a mini car and a van. You only care about the one car you buy. So GM had, the way it came across is GM had said, this is what's important to us, and therefore it'll be important to you. That doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
Well, they'd identified something they thought was cool. Like I said, the benefit, they identified this benefit to them, mm-hmm. but it wasn't a benefit to their customers.
Exactly.
And that's one of the biggest mistakes small business owners make.
And all too often.
Yeah, yeah. So we got to make sure we don't do that anymore. Peter, give us your website, please.
The easiest way from this conversation is creatinganddominatingnewmarkets.com or, of course, MEYERGRP.com.
MeyerGRP.com. And the other book is called Warp Speed Growth. Peter, thank you for being here. As always, it's a great to have you here, and we thank you for your wisdom.
Thank you very much. Truly my pleasure.
Peter Meyer, ladies and gentlemen, I promise you he'll be back. We're not going to let him get away very long. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every member of the military standing a post around the world. Folks, let's never forget the sacrifices that they're making on our behalf. I'm Jim Blassingame, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.